We're going to have communion today, so we hope that you have your communion cups handy, or I'm sure Frank over here would be glad to bring you one as well if you just hold your hand up. I want to thank Harold for that great worship time this morning. Wasn't that good? That was really great, and your whole team as well. Anyhow, as we speak today, it's an opportunity to begin a brand new study of 1 John. If you'd like to turn there to 1 John chapter 1, either on your devices or in your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. Just going to give you a little bit of history here. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John was written by John the Apostle, and he had to be quite an age. And it was likely between 85 AD and 95 AD that he wrote this particular epistle. We don't know who he wrote it to. It doesn't come with that customary greeting at the beginning. But we know he wrote it to a congregation. And he wanted to really emphasize the fact that Christ was eternal, that he came from God the Father, that he was real. So he's addressing this particular letter from this epistle, 1 John. The author is John. It's most likely John. We see some of the same language as is in the Gospel of John. And we know that John wrote the first, second, and third epistle, as well as Revelation. And so there was a particular group at that time that I believe John was likely speaking to, and they were spreading some false teaching. They were Gnostics. And Gnostics weren't really convinced that Jesus was 100% God and 100% human. They just didn't believe that. And in fact, they've placed knowledge at a greater or higher level than the divinity of Christ. That's putting it really simply today. And so people were kind of drawn to that teaching. And John is saying here, hold it, folks. I want to tell you, I want to show you what I've experienced. Christ is eternal. He's divine. I saw him. I was an eyewitness. And so we see here in this first epistle of John, the letter has two primary purposes. One, to expose false teachers. And secondly, we'll see it later on, to give believers assurance of salvation that it only comes through Jesus Christ. Let's, as we turn into our Bibles, if you found it, 1 John 1, can we stand? And I'd love to read it, okay? We stand here out of reverence for the Word of God. 1 John 1, we're going to talk about the first four verses today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it. We testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I'd like to read it out of the Message as well. It's a paraphrase, just so we can grasp some of the truths here in modern vernacular language. John chapter, 1 John 1, 1. From the very first day we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober praise that what we witnessed was incredibly this, the infinite love of God, the infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. The experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. Kindly have a seat. Well, let's go through this in the next few minutes, phrase by phrase. And if you want to keep your Bibles open, the text right there before you, it'll help. I'm sorry I didn't get notes today, and I know some of you love notes, so my apologies there. So it says here, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now the word of life, that's kind of a new expression maybe for some of you. The word of life he's referring to here is Jesus. The word of life is Jesus. And it only occurs in one other spot in Philippians 2:16, where it mentions this particular phrase, the word of life. John reminds his readers that the man about whom he is speaking existed from the beginning. Those words, that which was from the beginning. In other words, he's saying to this early Christian church, and he's saying it to us today, Jesus is eternal. He's eternal. He was there right at the very beginning. And he lived with his disciples for 3 years. He walked with them day by day. And he's saying, these folks were eyewitnesses. These folks were eyewitnesses. And he's giving an eyewitness account of who Jesus is based on his experiences with them. So the words from the beginning talk about the pre-existence of Christ from the beginning of time. And I love the scriptures today that you've read, the team read today, that Ellison and Isaac read, because, you know, that expression from the beginning, it links back to the Gospel of John, that very first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or we can even go back further. Genesis 1:1, guess what it says there? In the beginning. Isn't that something? And John really picks up on that. And today John would say, I saw him, I touched him, I heard him, I sat in his presence. He's not an avatar. It's not virtual reality. Christ existed. He lived. In other words, John is saying today, Jesus existed from the beginning. He was there in the past. He's there in the present. And he's here in the present with us. And he's going to be in the future forevermore. In other words, Jesus is eternal. Jesus' work and witness is eternal, and Jesus' message is eternal. We go on to the next phrase, which we have heard. Which we have heard. And you notice here the senses are appealed to. Seeing, the hearing, the proclaiming. And he says, which we have heard. John was with Jesus throughout his ministry. John heard Jesus teach and preach. He heard Jesus talk, share in parables. He heard Jesus speak to him. They spent time together privately. And John writes as one who heard the word of life, which we have seen with our own eyes. Wow. And John saw everything that Christ did. And he's saying here to this early Christian church, this congregation, I was there, folks. I'm the last surviving apostle. I saw his miracles. I saw when the dead were raised. I saw the lame walk. I saw Jesus cleanse the lepers. I saw him raise the dead. I saw him restore sight to the blind. I saw the mute speak, the deaf hear. I even saw him transfigured on the mount. I was there when he hung upon a cross. I saw him bleeding. I saw him gasping for breath. I saw him dying. I saw him die. He was dead. I saw him after his resurrection from the dead. He showed himself to them alive and was seen by them 40 days. And we saw him go up into heaven in a cloud, receiving him out of their sight. John wanted to make it very clear. Jesus wasn't a daydream. It's reality. It wasn't a mystical dream, spiritual vision. John and 11 other disciples witnessed the life and the work of Jesus in their midst. There's a story I want to share. It's a story of a prince. He was single. Got to listen, Skyanne. Okay, maybe you'll meet a prince someday. There's a story of a prince who was single and he wanted to marry a lovely maiden. And there was a large city near his palace. And one day he had to travel through a very poor section of the city when his eyes fell upon a beautiful maiden. Over a period of time, he had the occasion to meet her and he found that he had fallen in love. And he was faced with several options. One, order her to the palace and propose marriage. Secondly, guide her to her home and impress her with his royalty. Or thirdly, to give up his kingly robes and move into her neighborhood. Isn't that exactly what God did? The eternal Christ took up residency with us. He came to earth where human beings could hear, could see him, and could touch him. Following along here in the text, which we looked upon. That's a curious expression, and I struggled with this as I was getting this ready. What does that mean? And when you go back to the Greek word, it means to gaze upon. And so John is saying here, it's more than the physical presence of Christ he was confronted with, the seeing, the hearing Christ, more than the touching. It was like being in, John said, when we looked upon him, I just knew through the Holy Spirit in me that he was the Christ. And I think we can grasp that when we take a look at the time when we became a believer. If you've made that decision to become a Christian, when it all becomes real. And I think that's what that expression means. And he looked upon, which we looked upon, and have touched with our hands. I don't want to belabor this, but John and others were able to touch Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. Have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. You know, and John uses the same word for touch that Jesus did after his resurrection in Luke 24:39. See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. But both before and after his resurrection, John and others touched Jesus. Remember Peter, reaching out to take Jesus' hands when he felt like he was sinking in the water. Or Thomas reaching out and touching Jesus in his side. And so have touched with our hands, the text says. And then the next expression there after concerning the word of life are the words, the life was made manifest. All that means is that God made himself known, visible. The life of Christ was manifest here. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. John says here, the word of life was heard, seen, looked upon, and touched. In other words, the word of life is eternal, and the word of life is historical. And then we go on quickly here. And we've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. John is saying, I've experienced and tasted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I'm not going to monopolize it. I'm going to proclaim it. And that's what John is doing here. The revelation was given to a few for the sake of many, but they were to declare it to the world. We've seen it, we want to testify to it, and we want to proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He not only showed himself to the disciples to qualify them as eyewitnesses, but he gave them an authoritative commission as apostles to preach the gospel. John Stott writes these words, our author possesses these necessary credentials. Possessing them, he is very bold. Having heard, seen, and touched the Lord Jesus, he now testifies to him. Having received a commission, he preaches the gospel with authority. And we continue on in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. That's a great word, fellowship. We throw it around a lot here at Community Bible Church because it's fellowship that we have as believers. He's talking more than just having coffee and cookies after church. You know, I don't know if you experience it here. I pray you do, whether you're new to the church or whether you've been here for years. There's something happens when people get together, either here or in a small group or in a prayer group, that when we love the Lord, there's koinonia. There's community. There's fellowship. There's a unity in Christ. Amen? There is. And that's what John is saying here. You know, as we experience Christ touching our lives, and as we come to faith in him, we are going to have fellowship. But you know the other part of our fellowship? Is when we experience it with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so he's saying to this early Christian church, come on back, folks. You've wandered away in these false teachings. Come on back. Experience the fellowship of other believers who believe the same thing and who are fellowshipping in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is going to, as he ends off here in verse 4, and indeed our fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Our joy may be complete. So he's saying, as that, you know, message version put it, we've got great joy, but it'll be double the joy. Double the joy that we can have as we fellowship with one another in the name of Jesus. John's joy would be complete if those whom he wrote understand the kind of fellowship they had with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but also with their Father. So in concluding, today, as we study these four verses, as we kick off our study of 1 John, what do you hear the Lord saying to you? Do you hear the Lord saying, speaking to your heart today? That it's, number one, I hope you're hearing something like this. I had to wrestle with this. Number one is, we don't need to apologize for our faith. You know, it's hard these days because the minute you come out and say that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you come out with that absolute and firm conviction, that's not the thing to do today. In 2022, if it's going to be the same as 2021, you know, our modern society doesn't look kindly on people that come out and say a fact is a fact, that Christ is eternal, that he's historical, that he's relevant, that we want to proclaim him, that there's fellowship, that there's joy. We don't have to apologize for our faith. Secondly, it's so important to guard our understanding of the Word of God and to know what we believe so that we don't err, that we don't wander away, or we don't, you know, kind of half believe something. Thirdly here is, you know, I'm going to ask you a question today. Is Jesus as real to you today as he was when you got saved? And perhaps there are some of you here today that haven't made that profession of faith, that commitment to Christ. Today's the day to come to him, to put your faith and trust in him. Have any of you let the teaching of the world or listened to the world's knowledge and values dampen your love for Jesus or your enthusiasm to share the good news? Can you allow the Holy Spirit to look at your heart today and in 2022? I'm going to finish here, Brian, because I know, but can I just say one more thing? I love asking this question of couples I prepare for marriage. I'm going to ask you today, how are you going to keep your love alive for each other through all the years to come, through all the years ahead? How are you going to do that? Maybe it's something you want to speak to your spouse about after church. The answers I get are spending time together. I want to treasure my partner, esteem my partner. I want to talk. We want to talk to each other. We want to take our masks off. We want to be real. We want to share our heartaches. We want to share our dreams. We want to share our worries. We want to pray together. We want to grow in our study of God's Word. Yeah, those things. I'm going to ask you another question, though. How are you going to keep that first love of Jesus alive in your heart this coming year? hear all about resolutions. Can you make time to talk to the Savior every day? You take time to study the Word. Can you take time to pray? Can you just take time to meditate on the Word, to allow God to speak to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter 2022, thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Thank you for the gospel and the epistles of John, and for the writings of the other apostles, and the amazing truth that what they contain about the person and work of Christ, and the joy that can be ours through faith in you. Lord, I pray that you'll overflow my heart with your boundless love and joy. I pray that other believers will also experience the inner spiritual joy that is ours when we're walking in spirit and truth, and we are in fellowship with you and with one another. Thank you for sending Jesus to be the Lord of my life, the light of my soul, and the joy of my heart. In him whose name we pray. Amen.